The sermon text this morning is the account of David and Goliath. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're spending the summer tracing God's salvation history through the Bible. And the Bible has already given us very powerful images of the pictures of the mission of Jesus Christ. He is the seed of Eve who will crush the serpent's head. He is the substitutionary lamb offered in the place of Isaac, in the place of each and every one of us. He is the Passover lamb whose blood was shed, the blood that saves us from the angel of death. Abraham lived about 2000 BC, Moses about 1500 BC, and today we skim through another 500 years to find the year 1000 BC, where we'll still see yet another picture, an Old Testament picture of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, the picture of Jesus, our Savior. After the 10th plague, the plague on the firstborn, Pharaoh called Moses in and said, take your people and get out of here. He ushered them right out of Egypt. And the people of God, the people of Israel, as we are told, plundered the Egyptians on the way out. Basically, the people were giving them their gold rings and their earrings and their nose rings and were saying, take our gold, take this, get out of our land, leave, go now. But it is not surprisingly that later Pharaoh changed his mind. He disobeyed God, his creator. He sent his army to recapture the people of God as they were camped alongside the Red Sea. And we know how that went. We know how God sent a strong wind to push the water back of the Red Sea and dry up the ground so that the Israelites could pass through the sea on dry ground. And Pharaoh's army decided to go in after him under Pharaoh's orders to chase the Israelites down across the Red Sea. The Israelites had made it all the way across. The Egyptians were halfway across, it would seem, when the wind stopped and the waters came back and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the heart of the Red Sea. From there, God led Israel through the wilderness to Mount Sinai. He was present among them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And at Mount Sinai, God spoke to the Israelites, giving them His Ten Commandments. And just a little more than a year after leaving Egypt, they were knocking at the doors of the Promised Land, ready to go into Canaan. But the people looked at the Canaanites. They said, these people are too numerous. These people are too great. They are too many for us. And they refused God's command to enter into the land. So in punishment, God made them wander 40 years in the wilderness until that generation of fighting men died and their children rose to replace them. And though the people grumbled and complained, God provided food and water and kept the nation alive and thriving through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And finally, at the end of 40 years, God brought Israel again to the Jordan River, across from the Promised Land. There, Moses died, and God chose Joshua, Moses' assistant, to lead His people across the Jordan River into Canaan. God stopped the Jordan River up, pushing the waters back so that the people of Israel would pass through on dry ground. He was with Joshua and fought alongside Israel with the miracles and his angel armies to break the power of the Canaanite nations and give the core of their territory to the Israelites. And God told Israel that in time, when they grew more numerous and powerful, they were to drive the Canaanites out of the land and take full possession of the land that God had set aside for them. Sadly, after Joshua died, the Israelites disobeyed God. They failed to drive the surviving Canaanites out. And instead, they began worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites. And it's kind of odd that the Israelites didn't seem to stop to think that none of the false gods the Canaanites worshipped had been able to protect their people from the people of Israel. And still, they decided to worship the false gods anyway. People of Israel broke the covenant that the Lord made with them at Mount Sinai. He brought in foreign nations then to occupy and oppress them so that in their misery they would turn back to Him in repentance. When they suffered under these enemies, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, Lord, we are sorry for our sins. Please save us. And He raised up for them tribal chieftains that were called judges, who rallied the people of Israel and led them against their oppressors and their enemies. And each judge delivered and led God's people. But when the judge died, the nation descended back into idolatry, resulting in God bringing in yet again another nation to oppress the people of Israel. This terrible downward spiral is recorded for us in the book of Judges. Finally, Israel grew tired of this endless cycle. But failing to recognize that it was their sin that was the problem, they thought it was the fact that they needed a king to be with them all the time, ignoring the fact that God was to be their king. They said, "Give us a king, that this king may always be here to rescue us and to save us and deliver us." You may think that when God's people rejected him, God would turn around and reject them. But not so. God loved his people and he chose a man named Saul to be their first king. God filled him with his Holy Spirit and he equipped Saul with the wisdom to be the king over Israel, a good and faithful king. And Saul started out that way. He started out faithful and he started out with humility. He fought against Israel's enemies, particularly the Philistines. But in time, Saul grew proud and he defied his enemy. He defied God's will. He acted just like Adam and Eve did. Saul came to feel that it was his nation to lead, not God's. And when he rejected God, God turned his back on Saul as king. God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king. And the Lord chose a young shepherd boy named David from the town of Bethlehem, a son of Jesse. And Samuel anointed this David to be the king. And the Holy Spirit who had left Saul now filled David. The year was about 1000 B.C. Meanwhile, the war with the Philistines continued, and David's older brothers had joined Saul's army. And sometime later, Jesse sent David with food and provisions for his three older brothers. When David arrived in camp, he heard the booming voice challenging the armies of the God of Israel. We know how all of that went. It was the Philistine champion, the giant named Goliath of Gath, a man who stood over 9 feet tall. And this man boomed out, "Why have you come up drawn out for battle? Am I not a Philistine? But are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and we will fight with one another. And if he kills me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you will be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines cried out, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." For 40 days, Goliath kept issuing this challenge. King Saul and all his men were terrified. None dare oppose Goliath. When David finally arrived on day 40 and heard Goliath's rant, he was filled with holy anger, no doubt the Holy Spirit prompting him to ask, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Soldiers who overheard David brought him to the king. And David assured King Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul permitted David to go. He even offered David his weapons and his armor. But David realized they were too big and too cumbersome for him, and he wasn't practiced in them, and he wasn't used to moving around in armor and carrying a sword. So David went just as he was, with nothing but a sling, a pouch, and 5 smooth stones took from the brook nearby. He took 5. You know he'd only need 1. Goliath saw the young Israelite coming towards him, and Goliath despised him. He mocked and cursed David, but David answered with great courage and great faith, "You come with me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down." David took his stone, he placed it into the sling, he whizzed it and swung it around his head and released it at full speed. It found its mark right into the giant's forehead, sinking into his skull. Goliath collapsed wordlessly and soundlessly to the ground. David rushed up, took Goliath's sword, and took off Goliath's head with his own sword. After Saul died, David became king over all Israel. And God promised that one of David's descendants would be the promised Savior, whose kingdom would last forever and ever, a kingdom that was without end. David's courage in battle against Goliath gives us yet another glimpse of Jesus' great mission. Jesus, who went to the cross on Good Friday. David carried nothing with him but a sling and a stone. Jesus carried with him nothing but a cross. And on that cross, David's greater son did battle against the ancient serpent who is called the devil, inflicting a blow every bit as lethal as David's stone that sank into the giant's forehead. And just as David, the shepherd king, defending Israel from his enemies and ruling in justice, so Jesus Christ too is our great shepherd king, who provides for us, who protects us, who forgives us, who leads each and every one of us safely home to our promised land, our eternal home. You and I, each and every one of us, are part of the Lord Jesus' kingdom, a kingdom that is scattered around the entire world. It is called the Holy Christian Church, and it is gathered around God's Word and God's sacraments. And on the day Jesus returns, He will restore His creation. He will reestablish His kingdom on earth, and in the new heavens and the new earth, we will reign with great power and glory. This is our family, and that is our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.